unless we forgive our childhood tormentors, the way Jesus forgave us as we tormented him on the cross, we will never have any spiritual freedom in our lives.
Our feelings are very fluctuating and ephemeral, aren't they? We can't depend on them for 5 minutes at a time. But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott. Talking today to those of you who have experienced some form of abuse in the past. I have never been abused in any serious way, so I cannot speak from experience, but because I get so many letters from so many of you who have told me just horror stories of the things that you have experienced, I do want to address this. So I go to the people who have experienced it. And I have here a wonderful letter from a woman who has not gone into any detail about what kind of abuse she experienced, but it was when she was a child, and it must have been very serious. She said, "I feel so silly writing this to you, who are so learned and wise. It is certainly not new or profound, but God revolutionized my life with these three simple revelations, and perhaps you can use them to help someone else with a background of abuse and or defilement." So here they are, three simple revelations. If you want to take them down, I'll give them to you slowly as we come to them. The first one is forgiveness. Mark 11:25 is essential. When you stand praying, if you have a grievance against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you the wrongs you have done. Let me read that again. When you stand praying, if you have a grievance against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you the wrongs you have done. This correspondent goes on to say, "It is so insidiously pleasant to hold on to the right to feel angry, hurt, depressed, vengeful, etc. Unless we forgive our childhood tormentors, the way Jesus forgave us as we tormented him on the cross, we will never have any spiritual freedom in our lives. This is merely an act of the will. We must will to forgive them. And God works the forgiveness in our hearts." Now, that's an enormously important statement there. We must will to forgive them, and God works the forgiveness in our hearts. It's the old principle that we must do what we can do, and God will do what we can't do. It's humanly impossible to forgive all by yourself. But if you will to forgive, God works that forgiveness in your heart. It does work. I know it does. I've tried it. Okay, back to the letter. Second point, trust in God's sovereignty. Genesis 50, verse 20. That's where Joseph is talking to his brothers who had treated him so very badly, and then in the end, God had given him the privilege of saving their lives. And Joseph says to them after he's revealed himself, "You meant to do me harm, but God meant to bring good out of it. Whatever the harm may be that has been done to you, trust in God's sovereignty." My correspondent writes, "If I am going to trust God for my future, then I must trust His sovereignty over my past. He could have prevented it. He allowed it to happen. He makes no mistakes. He hath done all things well." To consider the life of Joseph makes it impossible to complain about the injustices in our lives. Human injustice is a mere chisel in the hand of God. The instrument may seem sharp and cruel, but the sculptor is the epitome of kindness and love. So trust in God's sovereignty. Number three, have a view to eternity. Colossians 3, 1 to 4. Were you not raised to life with Christ? Then aspire to the realm above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And let your thoughts dwell on that higher realm, not on this earthly life. I repeat, you died, and now your life lies hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is manifested, then you too will be manifested with him in glory. The letter goes on, this life is nothing but a vapor. My childhood must be less than a blink of the eye. I have all of now and forever to enjoy God's love and the wonderful things he has planned for me. Perhaps one of Satan's craftiest tricks in this age of psychoanalysis is to keep us focused inward. The word tells us to focus upward. Put off the old man, put on the new, and go. And then this lady includes a whole list of scriptures that had been a tremendous help to her. Let me read again the three steps that she gives you, just the brief headings. Number one, forgiveness, Mark 11:25. Number two, trust in God's sovereignty, Genesis 50:20. Number three, have a view to eternity, Colossians 3:1-4. Now these are the helpful scriptures that she adds. Psalm 27:10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Isaiah 49:15-16. Can a woman forget her nursing child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have engraved thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. That's Isaiah 49:15-16. Then she gives a verse from a hymn, which happens to be one of my favorite hymns, Like a River Glorious, by Francis Havergal. Every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon the dial by the Son of Love. We may trust him fully all for us to do. They who trust him wholly find him wholly true. And another hymn by Helen Lemmel. O soul, are you wearied and troubled? No light in the darkness you see? There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Romans 12:21. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. May I add here that child abuse is a terrible evil. It's a breathtakingly prevalent evil, apparently, from what I read and hear. It's something I never heard of when I was young, certainly never experienced. But here's this verse from Romans 12:21. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And my correspondent goes on with more scriptures that will help you to overcome evil with good. This one is Philippians 3:13-14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Wonderful scriptures and hymns, which should be a tremendous help to any of you who have suffered abuse or violation of some form. Another letter from a woman who doesn't tell me what the offense was, but tells me about her struggles with forgiving that person. She was looking for a loophole through which to turn from loving. Well, I know what that's like, looking for loopholes so that I don't have to love the person. But she tells how the Lord dealt with her. The caked-on sin needed the severest scraping, and my true soul exposed beneath, that is made in His image. I virtually leaped as a child into communion with the Father. And no words can describe the liberation. Pride can be an exhausting business. Some of you know the truth of that too, don't you? Rage chokes every avenue of giving and receiving love. Suddenly I saw that embracing the offender was a precious privilege, not a sullen act of obedience. There is a desire to preserve the life or soul of the offender rather than to punish, for underneath the retorts that destroy the speaker more than the hearer is an enormous amount of affection, the true self asking for recognition and love. If it was your father or your mother who perpetrated that evil against you, when you have forgiven him or her, can you embrace that person? This woman saw it as a precious privilege, not a sullen act of obedience. But it comes through the grace of God. We can't do it by ourselves. God can help you to do what you cannot possibly do, humanly speaking. God bless you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.